is a 2-year deal that includes a promotion and title, a contractual structure, and pay raise.
But let me ask you a question. What happens when they go 3-11 and they done been, and the court, I'm just saying hypothetical, and the quarterback sucks. Yeah. And again, they get knocked out. Now, where does that, see, we told y'all he couldn't do it on his own. You see what I'm saying? It's a double-edged sword for him. But the only other part it could be is that it'd be like what happened to my man. They start off, they suck. Ron Rivera's got to be on thin ice. They fire him. He comes in, do a decent job for the last 8 games of the season. They open the interviewing up again, and they'll give it to Matt LaFleur. I'm just using him as, or somebody else. They'll come with some BS. So, see, they can have the job. I mean, I understand everybody got to have a job, take care of their family. I know it's a burning desire. He wants to be a coach in the NFL. Hey, man, you mean to tell me today? I mean, NFL, I understand it's the marquee job. For me, it wouldn't be. If it's me, let me get with a college team, a college team where my lifespan can be 7 or 8 years without stressing. I can have a bad season without stressing, because at some point, this has got to change in Washington. Man, I'm curious. How are they making any revenue? Well, I mean, they got fans like Romar, I understand, but how do they make revenue when you ain't ever making it to the postseason? How long does the fan base?
Nah, it's low overhead over that trash stadium they own.
I mean, you're going to a junkyard to watch the game. I mean, how long does this last? Mm. I mean, how long does it last? I mean, that. I think everything
changes once we find somebody that won a battle.
Well, you got to get, you got to get the toxic environment out. Yeah. I don't know what Daniel Snyder has on these dudes to where the NFL don't go in and take the team from them. But, that needs to happen first.
The team up for sale. He ain't found nobody to sell it to yet.
Oh, they done found people. Look. Everything that comes with that situation is negative. You got a stadium that at any time, if you jump up and down, it might collapse. You got management in there that is so toxic that if you cut the lights out, the players probably glow in the dark. I mean, there's nothing positive in that place, period. Then Eric Bieniemy, basically, I feel like, damn, he's almost getting punished. He's getting blackballed being blackballed into taking a position of saying, you got to prove yourself to us that you can be a black head coach and be successful in our league. It's more public with him because, see, they did the same thing to Steve Wilks about a month ago. They just did the same thing to Jim Caldwell. They gave him some kind of consultant position. Man, please. I'm curious now to how much money these guys have actually been making, because they get rejected for everything else, but they still, hey man, I'll take that job. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying this to the black assistant. I mean, I'm not in the wrong. I'm not any, but man, at some point, y'all got to stand up for yourself. I mean, the next day after the Super Bowl, you get 2 dudes, a job already rating on them. Y'all lost. Hey, sign this paper, man. Let's sign this paperwork in the locker room. You got the job. I mean, Arizona and Indianapolis, I think, are the 2 that did that, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
You know, Jim Irsay, oh, we're going to delicately go through. I mean, how? How can you have interviewed these cats when they preparing for the Super Bowl? D'Amico Ryans gets a job that, hell, Mill, you and I wouldn't even have taken down in Houston. It's such a disaster. That's the only jobs they can get? So that's what's going to happen is once Ron Rivera get fired in about week 5 or 6, because trust me, he getting fired. Nothing against it, Romar.
Ron Rivera's not going to get fired. He's going to step down. It's going to be one of those things. He's going to step down.
He'll be out by week 6. Eric Bieniemy will come in. They'll probably still suck through the rest of the thing, and then they'll turn around and say, "We told you he couldn't handle it, or he couldn't turn it around." I mean, it's going to be something.
So you saying they're going to do him like what they did Terry Rubisky back in?
Steve Wilks. They'll do him. Hey, well, yeah, Terry. Well, you know what? I ain't gonna lie. I'm up in Cleveland. Or who was Rubisky? Was he in Washington or Cleveland?
Washington. Remember, he took over after, I forgot, what, we fired North Turner halfway through the season or something?
Okay, yeah, because, but see, you know something? Terry Rubisky was almost like an Eric Bieniemy, if you think about it. He just had to have a head coaching job. Mm-hmm. He was in Cleveland. I ain't gonna lie, he kind of got shafted because they gave the job to Romeo Crennel because they're going on that pedigree, oh, he coming from New England, Belichick thing, and I knew that dude sucked when he came in the door. So they didn't give him an opportunity. He was at a point, and you gotta think about it, and nobody thinks this, and man, the clock is kind of ticking on Romeo Crennel. The dude is 60 year already, you know, so I think his mindset was, if I don't get a head coaching job now, I mean, Rubisky, I'm not going to get one.
Yeah.
Eric Bieniemy is almost running into the same situation. He's 53 years old, which is not old. But all these other dudes getting hired is 38. We got young energy in the room. I mean, it's a mess. The last thing I want to bring up, Mills, are NBA.
Yes, the All-Star game this weekend. You know, before we ride on out here, I'm going to just, you know, the floor is still yours, Mark. Just give your thoughts on the NBA.
It's a joke. I guess I'll start taking interest into it now that the NFL is gone. I'll probably concentrate on the college basketball a little more so I can get ready for March Madness coming up.
Yeah, we need a college basketball guru right now.
You know, I ain't gonna lie to you, I haven't paid attention. Football takes all my attention until now. XFL starts to get the day. Whoever watches that, good luck. The NBA is a mess, man. You're seeing, in my opinion, if they're not careful, you can see this stuff implode because you got players that I can't wait for this next collective bargaining agreement to come up because it's going to be something else. Dudes take off. I mean, Kawhi Leonard basically has a schedule where he don't play unless it's an important game. I mean, a person pay $150 to go to a game and you got to play the lottery to figure which one he going to play in. Zion Williamson. Hey, man, I'm worried about this brother now.
Oh,
he can't get a rebound without hurting himself.
This man cannot stay on the court for nothing to save his life.
Ben Simmons.
After a couple years, you know, he's trying to see where he is. Is he going to be the next phenomenon? He's going, right now, he's down there, he's in the Greg Oden category right now.
Talking about Ben Simmons?
No, Zion.
Zion.
Oh. Well, I'm surprised they ain't try to use an amnesty clause, whatever they call it, in New Jersey and just send Ben Simmons on. He's psychologically ruined.
Do you know his teammates, I seen something earlier this week where when they asked something about some of his teammates when he was in Auburn. And they had warned him then.
No, he was at LSU.
LSU.
Well, you know what, though? I ain't gonna lie to you. When his game was on.
They said he felt like everything had to revolve around him. He had to have a bunch of people around him that basically he had to have a lot of yes men and everything.
Well, you know what? Psychologically.
Yeah.
Psychologically, he went to a city that if you don't do what you're supposed to do,
yeah,
they will ruin you. Philly ruined his career. It's a shame, man, because from a talent perspective, the brother's bad. It's just that I just think mentally, I don't know if, man, this thing is so old. They got this thing called the Steve Blast. They called the Steve Blast phenomenon, where the dude was a pitcher for the Pirates, won a World Series in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, and then having a Steve Sachs for the Dodgers, somehow he couldn't find the strike zone no more. They ended up nothing wrong with his arm. It just became psychological for this dude.
You seen it with Nick Anderson when he missed them folks free throws.
But Nick still was able to come back and have somewhat of a productive career.
But he won't be the same player no more.
I mean, they had this guy, Steve Sachs, second baseman for the Dodgers. Something happened where on a routine double play, he threw the ball wide, you know, wide to the first baseman. One incident came to, I mean, I'm not lying to you, to the point where they said, man, we got to move him. He could not get the ball to first base no more. It's psychological with Ben Simmons. I believe the talent is still there.
Yeah.
It's psychological.
Mentally,
it's almost like this dude needs to go. I don't know if you can repair this. I'm surprised New Jersey said, look, man, we're just going to buy you out on pennies on the dollar. We're going to use the amnesty clause and we're going to send you on about your way. Yeah. Now they do that. I tell the Lakers, look, pick him up. You can get him for pennies on the dollar. Pick him up to see if you can get something. But getting back to the NBA right now, it's a mess. I haven't taken an interest in the All-Star weekend. It's in Salt Lake City.
Oh, that's why I had the Utah team in it.
Oh, Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
I want to ask you how you feel about, I seen what Tank pled guilty to four of them charges.
Man, Tank got so many more legal issues coming his way. You better hurry up and make that money.
His sentencing ain't into November on the full charges that he pled guilty to.
Oh, so the fans got him?
Well, I tell you what.
For the hit and run.
He got to do some kind of time. I mean, if that's the case, then everybody should be all over to go out and run over somebody and get away with it. And he took off.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be minimal, 30 days. He got to do something.
Yeah.
Right.
I just seen last night where Greg Hardy, ex-NFL football player, entered the bare knuckles fighting ring.
Oh, yeah. I've been seeing.
And politely got knocked out in the second round.
Yeah, that bare knuckle thing, that's different.
Well, he found out.
Boxing. Yeah.
He found out real quick.
He found out in the UFC. Once he got in the ring with some big dudes with some skills, he got stretched out.
No. Well, here's the thing. I don't think strength-wise is a problem. What these dudes is finding out, like Adrian Peterson and Nate Robinson and all these other dudes, boxing and MMA, it's a whole different beast, bro.
Yeah, you step in the ring with some dudes with some skills.
Hey, Frank Gore looked good against Frank Gore.
And they told Frank Gore, don't come back in this ring. I mean, it's one of those things where, man, people don't believe it. Boxing, and I give MMA even more respect. Now I've seen what they, man, that's years in the making. You can't step out of the NFL today and decide, oh, in 5 months, I'm going to MMA. Well, go ahead and get knocked out or get a rear naked choke or you're getting something. You ain't winning. I promise you. You get in the boxing ring and you think, well, man, I can do that because I got hands. You ain't got no skills. You also gonna get stretched out.
Yes.
So, I mean, I respect those sports because that's a craft.
Yes.
And you're getting these dudes trained in jiu-jitsu and man, are you seeing these dudes, your top tier dudes, hey man, they got skills that's unbelievable. I mean, the more I got into MMA and I've been probably from the time I first saw Rampage Jackson knock out Chuck Liddell. And the only reason why that happened, because a friend of mine, my brother-in-law, we went to a sports bar to watch, and we ended up being the only blacks in there. Then about two or three more blacks came in. And, man, he knocked out Chuck Liddell. And I ain't going to lie, everybody in that bar started looking at us, and I was like, damn, is this going to be one of them nights? And I knew at that point then, I said, man, this MMA ain't no joke. And you look at some of the ways they submit dudes and some of the stuff that they do. In my opinion, if you're a professional in any other sport and you think you want to go into MMA, you better go to some kind of boot camp or something for about a year minimum before you even think about getting into some kind of ring. Because in my opinion, and I love boxing, but MMA is the most skillful fighting sport there is, because there's so many ways they can get you out of there. Mm-hmm. And you got, I mean, jiu-jitsu and, man, you better know what you're doing. That's all I can say. You better know what you're doing.
Yeah, speaking of UFC, there's next couple of weeks, we got Andrade versus Blanchfield tonight, Krolov versus Span next week, but coming up, UFC 286. Oh, I got it. I got my numbers wrong. But UFC, we got John Jones versus Surreal Gunn. I can't wait to see that fight.
And man, that's going to tell me something, because I seen that dude in Houston one time when I first got here. That brother is huge.
Yeah, UFC 285, John Jones in the heavyweight against Surreal Gunn. Man, ooh, I can't wait to see that one.
I can give my early prediction on that one now.
Surreal Gunn going to take care of business. Because I got Surreal, honestly, I got Surreal Gunn against knocking out John Jones.
You know, I thought he had Francis Ngannou, and he got tired. I can't go against John Jones. Just his skill set. I believe if he feels like he's getting physically dominated, that he'll switch gears and do something to where he has to get this dude tired. I don't think he'll knock him out. I think it's going to go to a decision. But John Jones did something really smart that a lot of people don't think. I think he gave himself time to get used to that bigger frame he's in now. That's why he didn't just jump right back into the ring. Mm-hmm. You know, when everybody's like, man, he got to come back.
Comfortable with that weight.
You can't learn how to move
with being bigger.
Yeah, I think he gave himself time. He must have had some money set aside somewhere, but he gave himself some time to adjust to his body.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't do that.
And if he's done that, then my man in trouble, because I've seen too many dudes who's went up in weight in 5 or 6 months, and Roy Jones is a perfect example, and you destroy yourself. I think John Jones said, hey man, I won't put on this weight, but I want to let my body adjust to it and get used to this and get used to it. Well, hell, his brother's probably been jumping on him his whole life, so they big. But get used to handling that real heavyweight weight with guys. And I think skill-wise, he's the greatest that's ever done it. Damn. You know what, Mill? You got me kind of caught here. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just skeptical of the weight jump. I get what you guys say, but I'm still skeptical, because heavyweights hit different.
I just got to see what he looks like. I'm still curious to what he... You know,
he might get used to it, but with him getting used to that body, would that still be enough?
Well, he better get used to that big dude being on him and weighing him down. And man, this Cyril Gang, man, he's a bad dude.
I got gone in this fight.
You got him by knockout though?
Well, not by knockout. I'll defer. Yeah. We got 2 weeks. But I still got gone in this fight.
God, well, you know what? You the MMA guy. Maybe I'm just going off a reputation, but I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm gonna go with John Jones. But I like Gunn. I mean, I like that dude a lot. That's one of those ones I almost want to flip a coin on. Hey, one more thing before we go, Mill. It's amazing. They didn't do it last year because they was in their hometown. They know they had a problem. Plus, they turned it out. But you know, have you seen the trend? It's amazing that when they've had African-Americans doing the halftime show, that the next day there's always something that's going to be critical. They didn't do it last year to Dr. J, because there's nothing you could come with. But, they did a lot of criticism of
Rihanna.
And I ain't gonna lie, I'm not really a fan of the halftime show anyway.
It was a good one. Because I think
it takes away too long from the players. They got to do too much to keep themselves busy before they get up the field. I think it hurts momentum. But there was a lot of criticism going her way Oh, she lip syncing. Oh, is this? Oh, is that? Oh, hell, everybody that perform. Everybody that performs lip sync from the national anthem. I just. Anyway, go ahead, Mill.
Yeah. I say you got a good point with that, Mark, and I appreciate you for coming on the show. You know, spending some time kick dropping that knowledge that you always do. You are the box guru. When it comes to boxing, man, I ain't arguing with you. But this is where they can miss me with it. This is where they can miss me with it. Every artist that performs in the Super Bowl, they are paying to perform in the Super Bowl.
They ain't getting paid to perform.
So if I'm paying my hard-earned money to show my hot pots in front of y'all, I'm going to do it however I see fit. Y'all can kiss my hot pots. Y'all got a problem with that? Y'all put up $8 million. Y'all sit up here and perform in front of the Super Bowl.
And oddly, guess what? She had more viewers at halftime than we had for the whole Super Bowl.
Right. So they can miss me with that. They'll still more viewed. The halftime show was still more viewed than the actual game was. Well, I don't care who's hating.
They say that they say when artists perform that the revenue they make after the Super Bowl is phenomenal.
Right.
I mean, I will say this about them. They've been using a lot of black artists lately. I think before Dr. Dre, they had that dude The Weeknd.
Yeah, yep. You know, because that was when they had Jay-Z running, doing the music. But I think that fell through. That the Dre performance was the last performance he set up for the Super Bowl.
The Dr. Dre one came in, it came one time because it's L.A., it's the SoFi's in Inglewood.
Yeah.
He's from right next door at Compton. You got Kendrick Lamar. You have 50 Cent, I believe. Did Ice Cube come on there? I can't remember.
No.
I'm kind of surprised with that because he's from Inglewood.
Snoop. Snoop. Yeah. Dre.
Yeah. Mary J. Blige.
It was an aftermath. It was an aftermath thing. So everybody that was under Dr. Dre's aftermath, and you know Snoop Dogg was there.
Yeah, but he should have had Cube there because he's from Inglewood. That would have topped it off. But either way it goes, it was a success. From what I could see with Rihanna, when I went over to my boy's house at the half, all the women was up and dancing to her, so she had to have been doing something right. They singing along and everything else.
I didn't see nothing wrong with her performance. I guess a lot of people felt like because she could have did probably a little bit more in her performance as far as dancing. But hold on, this lady.
Oh, whatever. The woman is pregnant.
Yeah, exactly.
You got that lady from Real Housewives of New York, Bethany Frankel. Whatever. Go find another husband. Your success ain't great either. You know, they come with all.
That's why I said they can miss me with that, Mark.
And hey, you know, the thing is funny when that lady Bethany or whatever, Frank Hill, I said, you know what? You got your 15 minutes on a show talking about how your relationships don't ever work because you can't keep a man. So start looking at yourself and checking yourself out and figure out what you need to do to keep somebody. Right. You know, she got more, that girl got more talent in her snot than what this woman got, period. So to even, God, it just makes me mad. The one thing I will give the NFL props to, it seems like they do bring in the African-American entertainment.
Yeah, it's not so much the African, not so much that entertainment. They bring in the best entertainment. Well, now, you know what? it's not so many acts outside of African Americans that can bring on a Super Bowl worthy type performance.
Well, I put it to you like this.
It's not too many.
I think they get to the point where I shouldn't say put it in that perspective, but it's what wide stream America likes.
Right.
You know, and it just so happens it's been African American performers. The last time I don't think there was one. They had Maroon 5 or something. I ain't gonna lie to you. Now you want it? That was horrible.
Yes, it was. And I like Maroon 5 too.
Yeah, I mean they'd have been better off having Linkin Park. Anything. I mean right. That.
Yeah, acts like Kelly Clarkson, Celine Dion. They don't fit the Super Bowl.
But ain't nobody trying to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, I ain't trying to be funny. Nobody wants to see that. They want to see something that the people are actually going to be.
Give me the Roots. Give me the Black Eyed Peas. Somebody going to turn the party up, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you want to keep the momentum going. And so, where's the Super Bowl at next year? Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I'll be there. I'll actually be at that one. No, I don't think the game, but my daughter lives, I'll be down there. They better be ready to turn that out. And I think that's one, my early prediction, that's one where you could probably say the halftime might be Drake. Somebody that where Vegas, where they, cause he brings it to Vegas. It could be Usher.
It could be New Edition.
Chris Brown.
You know what? They ain't gonna give that brother. I hate to say it. He's most talented, but they ain't gonna,
give him his flowers. Neither,
no, he burned his draws too much for people, and he creates a fire that is hard to put out. But I could see Usher, or you know what? It could be Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak.
Yeah, I could see that too.
I could see that
because that residency they got going in Vegas is off the chain. The one that Usher has is off the chain.
Somebody else just signed a residency deal in Vegas.
Well, Usher, I know for a fact Usher's there, and Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars.
Yeah, Chris Brown, the latest person to sign a residency deal in Vegas.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. That's where they make their money.
Yeah.
Because you get one of the residency deals. As long as you do what you're supposed to do. I know they might even have that girl. What's her name? Adele. She got her residency in Vegas. So you got some big names. If you can get the people, just the people that have residencies, if you combine them and have them all perform at halftime.
That'll be a big
you're gonna have a serious show going on because you got all genres, you got all, it satisfies everybody.
You hear that, Atlantic City?
Oh, you know what? I know who the act was before Dre and them. Then remember they had Jasmine Sullivan, and she did her job. She did her thing.
Was she a part of that too?
No, she was the halftime act the year before, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think she got the whole thing.
She got the whole halftime show the year before Dre and them.
You know, it's weird because she doesn't get a lot of widescreen.
And that right after that, she dropped her album Hotel.
She's a bad girl.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, guys, we got to ride this thing on out, man. Next week, yo, I love to have you guys back. We're going to talk some more boxing, some more UFC, football, free agency. We're going to have this all-star fallout.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about this.
And March Madness coming up.
These football games in this new league that started today.
I'm going to keep it 1,000.
It's garbage, but.
Yeah, that's the reason why we might not talk about it. If it's garbage, it's not coming on this show.
I mean, you know, you got a couple of football, ex-NFL players playing in it.
If this XFL looks like Fletcher Cox's Super Bowl outfit, I'm not talking about it.
I'll put it to you like
this.
Plain
and simple.
You know, when March comes, hopefully March Madness, especially the Final Four, it's right here in Houston. I plan on going to that.
I heard they
March Madness. Yes, we're gonna talk about that.
About extending it, extending the jump from 64 teams to a bigger, to like 80 or to 100 teams.
Well, if it's gonna bring them more money, the NCAA is greedy. It's a slave ship anyway. If they can figure out a way to create more money for themselves, they'll do it.
Yeah.
They William and I have always said this. To me, the NCAA is nothing but modern day slavery.
Yeah, for these kids.
That's just sports in general. No matter what sport it is, the same BS cycle as far as, you know, measuring these guys up with a perfect prototypical athlete for this position in this sport is, it goes on in every sport, not just football. It's just football, it's just more monetized. But it's gonna be eventually where one of these days, you know, these scouting come, they'll talk, actually, I take that back. Maurice Smith was talking about outlaw, trying to take away from the scouting combine, removing that. But we're going to have more about that next week. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to get out here. It's a Studio W Sports page. I'd like to thank y'all for tuning in. Yo, on behalf of my man, Ryan Shaco and Mr. Romar Smith, I'd like to thank CJ Richardson for coming on with us earlier today this morning, and my boss guru, Mr. Mark Daniels. Me, you know, I'm gonna be alright. Y'all gonna see me next week. We're gonna ride this thing on out with the blues by Outkast. But for right now, gotta bounce. I'll see y'all in church tomorrow.
Have a good weekend, everybody.